You're listening to Arise and Shine, the podcast, with your fabulous hosts, Nicole, Rangi, and myself, Emma. We want you to feel inspired by a place where everyone is welcome to listen and experience the love and the joy that comes from being in community together. We are all about loving each other and building one another up, and we hope that this experience has inspired you to be the change that you want to see in your world. Now back to your hosts for today, who love life, are far from perfect, and are all about bringing a fun and authentic message for you to enjoy. Welcome back to Arise and Shine, episode 6, bringing you our topic on fear. Wow, there's so many things that people are afraid of or feel that they're afraid of. Yeah, it just takes over in their mind and sort of just happens. The effects on your body, you can be afraid of people, you can be afraid of spiders, you can be afraid of planes. What are you currently dealing with in your life at the moment that is stopping you or holding you back in the form of fear? I know for me, my deepest and darkest moments have been a fear of, I suppose you could say, in a way without sounding too dark, dying. Straight up, we're just going to leap into that, because through my traumatic experiences for the last 7 years, it's been sort of a journey of coming out of anxiety, which is a form of fear, which started out as depression and then went into anxiety and panic attacks and that sort of thing. So this year, some things have changed. Joy has come, peace has come, and the Lord has actually brought me to a place of healing, which has only come through actioning and coming out of that victim mentality into a place of victory and life and freedom. So yes, so thankful. There'll be more on that sort of part of the journey, but we're just jumping in straight, going for the D&M, deep and meaningful.
You need to do one particular one, like yourself on this subject.
Yeah, absolutely.
I seriously think you do, because you've come through so much,
yeah,
and you've challenged yourself. Mm. You've been motivated. Mm. You've been talking, and now you're acting on it. And for me, looking at you, I mean, we haven't been friends for a long time, but I came into the picture in your life when you're actually acting on,
yes,
and then you're working and going through that journey, which inspired me, the strength and the struggles and everything that you've obviously gone through, that I only know like 5%, and I always thought, wow, and I think it's an encouragement for someone coming into your life at this stage.
And sometimes I don't like, you know, I don't like jumping straight into all of that. But I've really been, in my heart, I really feel like, no, there is people and there is a time and there is a place where people actually, I do need to share that. So to have that fear, that crippling fear that stops you from being all that you're called to be, is quite, yeah, it's a journey, and it's a journey for each individual separately. But I do encourage, if you know, if there's something that you fear, just take that time to write your thoughts down, because fears really come from your thoughts. Now, are those thoughts real? Are they lies? Are they truth? And just, you know, getting some help or getting a good friend, not isolating yourself. I'm just sort of brushing over the topic, if I can, on that.
Finding a network. Networking is the best. Because that way you have that opportunity to share and walk through it with someone that you can actually rely to.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean you absorb their energy and then lose who you are trying to become, but then being able to share it with someone. You know, it doesn't always have to be a counselor, but if you have the opportunity to go and get counseling, go for it.
And, you know, there's also varying degrees. So people can go through trauma, which you know, a lot of people can go through trauma and then that breeds that fear. But I think why it's important to actually bounce that off someone is you can have something in your, the way you were raised, or, you know, the way you were, some behavior patterns that, or beliefs, I should say, from that have come from those places or from your schooling, how you were, you know, sort of schooled, that sometimes can you, the most dangerous place is to actually think that they're truth, but they're actually lies. So yeah, that brings freedom when you're able to just be in an environment where you trust and feel safe with someone that you can just bounce those off them to really get those truths. So yeah.
I was just thinking back to, you know, it's one thing to be afraid of spiders and moths and mice and, you know, that's that's me, but I've also felt like that anxiety that comes at night time when you're alone and you feel like somebody's going to be breaking into your house. And you just mentioned, Nicole, that you feared for your life, like you were going to be murdered. And that gut-wrenching fear and panic that comes over you when you're alone. Like, I just, you know, how did you get through that? Like, what was some of the stuff that you did in those moments where you were like, you know, you were alone, you had your kids with you. I hope this is okay to ask. You know, I think of me when I'm very rational. Like, I know that if there's been nights where there's been this knocking outside my window, I'm like, what the heck is that? Somebody's breaking in. And it's actually just the wheelie bin lid flapping in the wind. And so, you know what I mean? Like, I'm...
You know, I'm still on a journey of trying to condition myself, because when you say it like that, I still feel like I shouldn't be talking about it. But it was real. And yeah, to go back to that place, it was basically sometimes just hour by hour, day by day. But really, you know, I was at that point of desperation. So sometimes people can see desperation and heartache and trauma as a bad thing. But I totally see it now, for it's made me who I am. I am so passionate, and I know that God has kept me safe and he's kept my kids safe. And to be in that place where you have no family, you have no support network, the only person in your life at that time was really a dear friend of mine that was the mother of one of my son's friends, and also a pastoral care, a chaplain at a school. They were the only people that I had in my life. And, you know, I've had shoes sitting out my window ready to jump out and run. I've had, basically I was in my deepest, darkest place, and all I had was basically being kind to myself. So I love baths. I just would have a bath and I would just sit there and read the Bible. But most of the time, none of that was going in. Because it wasn't, and even today I'm still healing from that, and that's why you might get a bit like, ooh, what is she saying, jumble jumble? But you know what? It's part of my journey, and that's okay.
You're brave.
Yeah.
You are so brave. You're so brave to eat
tissues out. That day you came and rescued that frog out of my bathroom when I was wimping like a little wuss. You're like, nah, couldn't manage that one, girl. And I'm like, ugh.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It really, I go into panic mode, like if there is a moth. And I sort of reflect back, and there was a time where I got a Christmas beetle stuck in my hair, and I was in a swimming pool. And my hair was knotty. It was very traumatic. So now if there's any bugs or anything, you know, I believe that I have the big deal, big warp. Like, it's nothing compared to what other people experience. But I know the feeling of that panic that comes.
And I also just have – I just encourage you to find that something that just ignites peace in you. So for me, it was – true peace only came this year through an encounter at the Wellness – Wellspring Healing Center here, where we're coming live and recording this to you. True peace came this year, but it wasn't, that breakthrough didn't come until I actually actioned it. Prior to that, I just have this absolute passion for worship. So every time something would try and creep in that would say this is going to happen, or, you know, basically fear is that mismanaged mindset, something would come in your thoughts or in your mind, it was actually, I would just put worship on in that instant, and I would sing and I would dance. So that has been the thing that has kept me going, kept my family, and brought us to that place of just choosing joy and peace every day now. Yeah, it's so good. Mm. So good to have that freedom. Like, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
You feel like you're on cloud nine. Yeah,
totally. And out of that birthed Arise and Shine, because you know what it feels like to be in that place, and the fact that you can experience joy today is, part of the journey, and sharing your story, which hopefully somebody else can take away and start applying to their life. Mm. I know you've definitely inspired me in everything that you say and do, the mum that you are.
But we were talking about before, Rangi was sharing a really good point about generational fear. Mm. That really hit me. That's great. Do you want to share that again for us?
Sure. So my whole family, all girls from my mum's and my – actually it started off from my great-grandmother. All the girls at least one of them in the family will get diabetes while they were pregnant. And for some reason, they carry it through and they end up getting heart diseases and they die quite young. Mm. And they are lack of energy. And like my mum, for an example, she's only 55, 56 years old. But when you see her, you probably think she's older than that. Because of her sicknesses and everything that she's gone through, it made her look older than she is. And so when I felt pregnant with my first child, my mum kept on telling me, be very careful. If it happened, it happens, but this is what's been happening. This has been in our generations that the diabetes kicks in and it tends to stay until the rest. And I just wanted to, I was so strong in that will, thinking I'm not going to get any of my children, give them this disease, because my grandmother had it, my grandmother, great-grandmother had it, my mum had it, and now I'm getting it and my children will get it too. I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to break it, break the chain.
Yes.
And funnily enough, I've been a chain breaker in our family.
Yes.
I was the one to step out and do things that the others didn't even expect me to do. And somehow I watched my diet. I didn't go to an extent, but I prayed about it really hard. Said to God, I'm not going to get it. You have always been this to me, that I have broken chains, so I'm not going to get this either. You promised me a life. You've given me a gift, and you are going to guide me and walk me with it. So that was that. And then I went to that, they do the glucose test. And before I was even going there, I taught my the doctors and the girl who was doing the test. I said, oh, this is what's been happening, so let's just see. But they were really supportive. And they said, let's see what happens. And then I did my test, and then she could say at that point that I do, I don't. And I was so impatient. I said to her, I can't wait till I go back to the doctors and the results are come. She goes, from what I can see, you don't have it. And I was like, praise God.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the doctor. She goes, Vangi, guess what? You definitely is the chain breaker. You broke it. You did not get diabetes while you were pregnant. And I was so over the moon. And then second time around when I felt pregnant, I was doing the same things and I was so happy that I didn't get it. And the other thing was generational, is that after my mum, all the girls that was born in our family, in my mother's side of the family, did not give birth, like vaginal birth, to children. They all had cesarean for some complication, some sort of issues. And guess what happened? I did it. And my mom was like, what? My mom was so over the moon. All my aunties are like, you did it. That was so good. Well done. done to you.
So good, hon. The other thing too, I know, you know, these days the stats, unfortunately, for divorce are higher. So it's that fear for me. It was the fear of I didn't want to, you know, not support my husband in what was going on. But at the same time, deep down, I knew that our circumstances, you know, weren't aligning and that it was unhealthy. So we needed to separate. But then that fear of this pattern repeating itself, because my, you know, parents were separated as well when I was five, which then brought this fear that I'd never seen before. And it's actually where my approval addiction come from. So seeking the approval of what others think about me, because I was rejected by my dad at the age of five, which started this whole cycle of the fear of, you know, what others think of me, and, you know, they don't accept me. And so coming to that place too of peace now, in I know who I am in Christ, but and they, knowing your identity and who you are.
The fear of what if. That's what they say. What if this doesn't? What if this did?
How often do we, though, like, work out the outcome of something that is so unrealistic and it's not even happened yet? You're worrying about the thing that's going to happen that's not actually happened instead of focusing on, you know, that can be in relation.
It's like you, though. You're a big thinker, Emma. You are. And then you're not just a thinker. You actually act on it. That's what that's what's inspired me about you, because you, there are so many thinkers. We're all thinkers.
I'm going to put Emma on the spot. Watch this.
So, Mrs. Emma Jensen, I just want to ask you, do you have a fear of failure or success in any way at all?
I think that's a really good question, and thank you for asking me. And my biggest fear is neither in failure nor success. My biggest fear is in regret.
Wow.
Regretting.
What do my kids say?
Drop the mic. You know what? It's actually, and I've,
wow, babe.
I thought about it, because it's actually regret of not doing those things, like anything, relationships, stepping out, being the one to initiate a coffee or a catch up, or being the one to host a barbecue because you want to have connections and community, or stepping out into that business idea, or, you know, just thinking of these things. And I'll tell you what it is. And it's funnily enough, because I've never met the guy. My brother-in-law, who passed away 6 months before I came into the family.
Yeah.
He was 24. Now, I'm 24 this year.
Yeah.
And I think about his life and his short time on earth, and some of the things that maybe he would do differently. If he knew that at 15 he was going to be gone at 24, would he still live out the way
he did?
So I have this thing over me. It's not a fear of failure. I really couldn't care. I'd love to fail, because I realize that now, that that's where our growth comes. And
I'm okay with
that, and I'm okay with success, because that allows me to be in a position to serve. So I think that regret is definitely, I don't want to get to an age and think, hey, in your 20s you were so healthy, why didn't you pursue more or do more? So thank you for asking. And I was actually prepared for that question at some point or other in my life. But, you know, we are only a week away from an illness or a diagnosis or we're all going to leave this earth at some point. So are we going to experience joy and live our life abundantly, or are we going to be worrying about dying, which is inevitable?
Yeah.
It's like, can I say?
Sorry,
It's like the other day I asked from you, how do you do it, Emma? How do you do it when Scott's always on business trips and doing stuff? And I always go, oh, my God, how does she do it? Because I've never had that. I was very blessed to have the support that I have from my husband, and he's always there for me. And you said this to me, because at least I don't have cancer. And you know something, that's such a good way of looking life into perspective, because you've seen how much people, how much a family went through because of that trauma of Scott's brother, and it's still They're still working on it.
I never met the guy, but I met the family afterwards. And what an amazing family to have been married into. But it's changing your perspective. Absolutely. Like, yes, this is hard, but hang on a minute. Can I handle it? Absolutely. There is somebody out there who's laying in a hospital bed who wishes that she could clean up after her kids and serve her family and cook the dinners and, you know, just changing that mindset. I think I've got that embedded now. I understand that after being 6 years in the family and just hearing his story and journey and just seeing other people as well, it just changing that perspective. So thank you for sharing that too.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes fear can feel like a valid reason for not doing something, but it's most certainly not. Mm-hmm. So we're here to tell you, there's many books out there, Feel the Fear, Do It Anyway, but we're here to tell you that it's not an excuse, that you can come through any fear, any degree of fear with hope and, hope for the future. But I just really loved what you said, Em, about regret. That really resonated with me. I just think if you can keep stepping forward, feel the fear and do it anyway and just enjoy the journey. Yeah.
And look, I would say we can't just say goodbye to fear.
Yeah.
It would be nice to just say, ta-da. But it's somehow in our life, somewhere, it's going to cringe in and it's going to keep on telling you you're not worthy, you can't do this, you're not powerful, you're not confident, all those knots. But guess what? That's what it is. Like that's what's exactly embracing it.
Fight it. What is it? Fight or flight?
Yeah, that's it.
Choose.
So my motto, I'm going to close with this, is one day at a time, one faith step at a time is actually my life motto. One faith step at a time. It's just each day as it comes, you're never going to be given the strength to go through something that you haven't gone through yet. And I thank my mother-in-law for that. Little pearl of wisdom. She said to me, you know, when I was expressing to her some of the things I was afraid of, one of the things she said, you would never be given the strength to go through something that you are not going through. Experience your day as it is today. Okay. That's all we have time for today. But there is so much more that we can't wait to bring you. And hey, we'd love to make a connection with you, so come and find us hanging out at our Facebook community group where everyone is welcome to join. We believe that you have a purpose and a calling in your life, so if you head over to our website at ariseandshine.com.au, you will find free printables that will get you onto your journey of becoming the best version of you that you can be. We love you, and if you love us too, we would so appreciate a review on iTunes. This will help other people find us too. Now go and be amazing. You have so much to offer the world, and the people surrounding you are waiting for you to shine. So see you next time at Arise and Shine, the podcast.